hello and welcome to this episode of The Lives and Styles of Old Hollywood. Today, it's about Merle Oberon. Merle Oberon was not only a beautiful Hollywood actress, she was also a victim of the beauty standards of her time, and she sets a cautionary tale. She is also, though, a testament to determination and what you can achieve if only you set your mind to it. So Merle Oberon was born Estelle Merle O'Brien Thompson on February the 19th in 1911 in Bombay, British India. Her nickname as a kid was Queenie, which she later also adopted for her early entertainment career. Oberon's heritage and family is complicated. Her mother was 12-year-old Constance Selby, who got pregnant after being raped by her stepfather Arthur Thompson. Her birth grandmother, Constance Charlotte Selby, called Charlotte, raised Merle as if she was her own kid. But also Charlotte had Constance, Merle's real mother, at the age of 14, as a result of rape by Henry Alfred Selby, the foreman of a tea plantation. Later, Charlotte married Arthur Terence O'Brien Thompson, a mechanical engineer from Darlington. So it was quite believable that Charlotte had Merle at the age of 26. Merle thus was raised as the daughter of Charlotte and Arthur Thompson. Merle's real birth mother, Constance, married Alexander Suarez and had four more children. Even more important, Constance Selby was Indian and hailed from Sri Lanka. So Merle was not all white, but of mixed heritage. Knowing full well that this would be a disadvantage in most of her career, she would hide this fact by claiming that she had been born in Tasmania, Australia, and that her birth records had been destroyed in a fire. She would also hide her parentage when being around her dark-skinned mother, or grandmother, Charlotte, claiming her to be a servant and maid instead. Her alleged father, Arthur Thompson, died from pneumonia during the Battle of the Somme when Merle was only 3 years old. Subsequently, Merle and her mother lived in Bombay in dire circumstances and moved to Calcutta. There, Oberon attended a private school for girls as a charity student, but was teased and mobbed because of her mixed heritage. She eventually quit school and was homeschooled instead. Oberon had her acting debut with the Calcutta Amateur Dramatic Society as a young teenager. At the age of 18, she met and dated Ben Finney, a former actor. He ended the relationship, though, when he realized that Oberon was of mixed heritage. But, as he valued her as a person, he promised to introduce her to Rix Ingram of Victorine Studios in Nice, France, if she was only willing to move there. Of course, she was. So, Merle Oberon and her mother Charlotte packed their belongings and traveled to France. Finney would never be seen of again, but he had kept his promise and had recommended Oberon to Ingram. Ingram did like Oberon because of her exotic looks and hired her as an extra in The Three Passions. As Oberon put it herself some 11 years later, "I couldn't dance or sing or write or paint. The only possible opening seemed to be in some line in which I could use my face. This was, in fact, no better than 100 other faces, but it did possess a fortunately photogenic quality." Afterwards, Oberon moved to England, worked as a hostess under the name of Queenie O'Brien, and then appeared in several uncredited roles throughout the next 4 years. It was only in 1933 that director Alexander Korda signed Merle and gave her a small but prominent role as Anne Boleyn in The Private Lives of Henry VIII, opposite Charles Laughton. This was also the movie that Merle was credited as Merle Oberon for the first time. She followed this breakthrough up with more leading roles, as in The Battle, The Broken Melody, The Private Life of Don Juan, opposite Douglas Fairbanks, as well as The Scarlet Pimpernel. Oberon's relationship with Alexander Korda led to her start in Hollywood. Korda sold shares of her contract to Samuel Goldwyn, and subsequently, Oberon moved to Hollywood. In 1935, Merle Oberon made her Hollywood debut in Folies Bergères de Paris, opposite Maurice Chevalier. She received her only Academy Award nomination for Best Actress that very year for The Dark Angel. She followed it up with the 1936 William Wyler movie These Three and Beloved Enemy. She would disappear until 1938's The Divorce of Lady X because of a car crash that led to the cancellation of I, Claudius, a Korda production that was actually already a mess and Corder apparently was quite happy that he could put the blame on Oberon's car crash. In 1939, at age 28, Merle filmed her most successful movie, Wuthering Heights, opposite Laurence Olivier. She followed her up steadily with movies of moderate success, Over the Moon, The Lion Has Wings, which did have an impact on Britain's government to let the film industry continue to work, though. Till We Meet Again, Affectionately Yours, That Uncertain Feeling, and Lydia. Some of her more admired films were 1944's The Lodger and Dark Water, as well as A Song to Remember in the next year, in which Merle played novelist Georges Sand. For the remainder of the 1940s, Merle was cast in a series of unsuccessful movies like This Love of Our, Night in Paradise, Temptation, Night Song, and Berlin Express. During the 1950s, Merle made movies in France, England, and Hollywood, retired by 1957 and only came out of retirement sporadically, as, for example, in 1963's Of Love and Desire, 1967's Hotel, and her last movie, Interval, in 1973, when she was 62 years old. Oberon retired for good in 1973 after wrapping Interval and moved to Malibu, California, where she died 6 years later, in 1979, at the age of 68, after suffering a severe stroke. 1 year before her death, in 1978, she traveled to Hobart, Tasmania. At that point, she still upheld the story of being born there. But shortly after arrival, she had a breakdown, told the taxi driver that she indeed was born in India and not Tasmania. She did not re-emerge from her hotel room and did not talk to the press. That probably also contributed to her health problems, as she was already suffering from heart problems at that point. Let's move on to the more important and more interesting facts and facets of her life, including relationships. So the first relationship that Merle Oberon was involved in that we know of, apart from Ben Finney, was Leslie Howard. 23-year-old Merle Oberon met co-star Leslie Howard on the set of The Scarlet Pimpernel, and the two became instant lovers. 2 years later, Merle Oberon, at that time 25 years old, met David Niven in 1936 during the William Wyler movie Beloved Enemy. They had an intense romantic relationship, and Merle even intended to marry Niven. But, as already covered in the episode on David Niven, Niven was not faithful to her, and they ended things. And then we do have director Alexander Korda. Korda and Oberon had a long and platonic friendship. It is debatable whether Oberon fell in love with him eventually or whether she just wanted to be his wife to achieve a certain standing in British society. He had it, she wanted it. And judging by the many affairs that she has been accused of having during their short-lived marriage, it might actually have been the second option. Nevertheless, Korda and Oberon married in 1939 when Merle was 28 years old and divorced 6 years later in 1945. Amongst Oberon's many affairs during her marriage to Korda was RAF fighter pilot Richard Hillary, as well as John Wayne, with whom Oberon is rumored to have an on-again, off-again relationship. That same year of her divorce, Merle married cinematographer Lucien Ballard. He was the one inventing the OB light. OB being short for Oberon. This lighting technique was able to bring out the light in Merle's eyes while blurring the rest of her face and thus creating the illusion of a smooth and even complexion. Nevertheless, they divorced after 4 years of marriage. And then we do have husband number three, Bruno Pagliai. Merle met and married Italian-born industrialist Pagliai in 1957 when she was 46 years old, and she adopted two children with him. Together, the family lived in Cuernavaca, Morelos, Mexico. They separated in 1973 and divorced in 1975. When a divorce from Pagliai was through, Merle married Dutch actor Robert Walders, who was 25 years her junior. They stayed together until her death. But if you search the internet and all the sources available, you will find many more men with whom Merle Oberon is said to have had affairs or relationships, like Rod Taylor, George Brent, Rex Harrison, Gary Cooper, Clark Gable, Brian Ahern, Daryl F. Zanuck, Maurice Chevalier, Prince Ali Khan, and Joseph M. Schenck. And there are even more, but I have not included them. So this is the wild love life of Merle Oberon. But if you listen closely, there was something about the OB light who needed to smooth Merle's skin. So let's dive into the beauty and the beauty problems that Merle Oberon faced. 25-year-old Merle Oberon was involved in a car crash in 1936. I quote from the papers back then, "The star's doctor said she would be unable to return to work for 3 or 4 months. At the time she was injured, Miss Oberon was treated for cuts on the right side of the face, behind the ear and on her neck. Her secretary said she would not be disfigured by the injuries. But when it comes to her face and her beauty, there's even more. As Merle was an Anglo-Indian and as such deemed less than, she turned to skin bleaching. Back then in India, it was a beauty myth that the whiter the better, and the market was targeted and saturated with skin bleaching products. They usually contained mercury in different levels, which could have light to severe side effects. Once Merle was established in Hollywood and quite aware that being of mixed race would be the end to her Hollywood career, she was keen on getting an even lighter complexion and thus turned to dangerous skin bleaching techniques that left her brand marked. When she wanted to audition for The Constant Nymph and did not feel well, she got a sulfur injection, which was a precursor to antibiotics. Subsequently, she suffered some serious damage to the skin of her face, allegedly from the combination of mercury and sulfur. Then-husband Alexander Korda sent Oberon to New York to get a treatment, and she apparently underwent several painful dermabrasion procedures. But her skin would not be restored. It was noticeably pitted and indented. She thus had to learn how to use makeup and, thanks to husband Ballard, light during filming, to conceal the damage. In later years, especially when living in Mexico, Oberon stopped all skin bleaching treatments, probably got more comfortable in her own skin, literally. Thus, the photos from that period, which are in color, show her with a darker and more natural skin tone. Overall, when it comes to beauty and style, Merle had a petite frame, an exotic face, high cheekbones, dark, thick hair. In short, she was beautiful, and she could wear all the fashions. Although there is no particular dress or style associated with Merle Oberon, most of her outfits were feminine. Suits had lace embellishments and dresses were made of chiffon and dainty prints. Accessories definitely were an important item for Oberon. In contrast to many other actresses, she was often photographed in veils, hats and other hat pieces. Maybe this was a technique to distract from her face and its shortcomings after too many bleaching sessions. So this concludes the episode on Merle Oberon. I hope you got a great roundabout picture of who Merle Oberon was. And of course, we're now looking into the life lessons that I got out of her life. So first, never betray yourself. Merle Oberon denied her heritage. Although it was quite understandable why she did what she did, to create a better life for her, to escape poverty, to make something out of herself and escape the family trauma. But this caught up with her. She went to Tasmania and was not able to face the public. She got sick because of it. I do not say that this secret killed her, and there were certainly other contributing factors at play, but your mind and your soul are influencing your body and your health. So try to never betray yourself, your desires, your being. Don't get caught in a web of lies. Don't ever suffer in silence. Your body, your mind, your soul, it's all connected and all is a part of you. And they will show you if you do something they do not like and which is against who and what they are. And the second life lesson is your body is your temple. Don't tamper with it. Skin bleaching almost 100 years ago certainly was dangerous business. Although again understandable that one, it was the latest beauty craze in India and Merle hopped right on. And second, she experienced intense bullying and mobbing, as well as poverty because of her origin and her skin tone. So it is understandable that she tried to become something else, someone else. But still, your body is sacred and you should never tamper with it. Because if you do harm to your body, if you put chemicals in it, if you do feed it, be it food, be it something liquid, be it creams, or be it thoughts, media, whatever. Whatever you put into your mind, your soul, your psyche, or your body, it will become a part of you. And if it's not good for you, if it is not something that nourishes either part of you, it will slowly or fast destroy you. So do never tamper with your body and be conscious of the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. The better you treat yourself, the better you will be. So this concludes my learning section on Merle Oberon, who I find a fascinating person, quite honestly. I enjoyed this episode tremendously, and I hope you did so too. I can't wait to talk to you next week, and I hope you're having a great time until then. Bye.